This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Two Sundays ago, I began my new sermon series on the book of 1 Corinthians. And even though we're going to learn about many things as we journey together through 1 Corinthians, we need to remember that what unites all of these teachings of God is the words of the Apostle Paul that we find in today's reading from 1 Corinthians. And those words are, "We preach Christ crucified." That's what makes Christianity unique. Who Jesus is and what He did on the cross for us and why He did it. It's at the center of Christianity. And the Bible itself will be completely misunderstood unless we understand who Jesus is and why He died on the cross. With that in mind, the title for today's sermon is "The Foolishness and Weakness of God." Does that title shock you? Does that title sound blasphemous? I mean, how dare I accuse God of being foolish and weak? However, those are not my words. As you probably assumed from hearing the reading, I based my sermon title on these words of the Apostle Paul: "The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." Now, why does the Apostle Paul say this? What is he trying to teach us by talking this way? Well, in order to understand those questions, allow me to review very briefly what we've learned so far in this sermon series. Simply put, Paul is writing this letter to some Christians who lived in a city called Corinth. And he's writing to them because he was informed by one of their members that their congregation had divisions because false teaching had crept in. And various groups were splitting off and forming their own little cliques because of this false teaching. In addition, we're also told in the letter that some of the Christians in Corinth had compromised God's word by affirming various sins common in the city of Corinth, especially sexual immorality. And so, Paul writes this letter to remind them that they're God's baptized children. He reminds them that they are forgiven and that they're holy in God's sight through faith in Christ who died on the cross in their place of damnation. He reminds them who they are and whose they are, lest they forget and run away from the God who loves them and saves them. In other words, they need to repent. They need to return to the truth of God's word before it's too late, before they reject Christ and His salvation altogether. Now, I'm sure it wasn't easy being a Christian in Corinth. On the one hand, there were some Jews in Corinth who refused to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and they scorned other Jews who did convert to faith in Christ. There were also many non-Jews, especially Greeks in Corinth, who worshipped various false gods and followed various pagan philosophies. And of course, they thought that the gospel of Jesus Christ was utter nonsense. I mean, why would you worship somebody who was crucified? Now, in the face of all this mockery and opposition, I have to admit it was tempting for the Christians in Corinth to compromise the Christian faith and maybe even reject it altogether. Does that sound familiar? We Christians in America face much of the same temptations. If you look around our culture, we find many people who were born and raised as Christians who have completely compromised the Christian faith and maybe even have rejected it altogether because of all the pressures and temptations and scorn that the true Christian faith receives in our culture. Not only are there people in our society who think we're fools for believing what Scripture teaches about things like creation and sin and salvation through Christ alone. But just like that ancient city of Corinth, our society has many temptations, doesn't it? Including sexual temptations. Some things never change. That's right, we have all these temptations in our society that appeal to the desires of our sinful nature and thereby tempt us to rebel against God's will for our life so that we can live as we please. So then, what comfort, what encouragement does Paul give to the Christians in Corinth who are being mocked by unbelievers and bombarded by temptations? What comfort, what encouragement does Paul give to us as we face the same evils? Well, listen to how Paul begins today's reading. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then he says, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached, meaning the message of Christ crucified. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Paul goes on to talk about how people who do not believe in Scripture and Christ, they think it's all foolishness. Yet those of us who do believe, we see it as the most precious thing in this universe. So what do we learn from this? Two things. The first thing we learn is that unless a person's heart and mind is renewed by the Holy Spirit, he or she will think that the teachings of God's Word, especially the message of Christ crucified, is utter foolishness. I remember a few years ago, I was having lunch with a man in town who openly admits that he's an agnostic. He's not sure if there is a God, and honestly, he said, I really don't care. But he wanted to have coffee with me because he had read one of my articles in the paper and was intrigued and just wanted to find out what made me tick. And so we were visiting. And finally it came to a point where I was tired of beating around the bush. And I just said, would you allow me just to share with you very briefly what it is I believe and why so we can get down to business and talk about it? And so I shared with him the basic core teachings of the Christian faith. Creation, the fall into sin, the promise of the Savior. And I emphasized the gospel that Jesus, the very Son of God, took upon himself our sin and our guilt and our rebellion and suffered damnation in our place, that through that sacrifice we might be forgiven and reconciled to God. I talked about how Jesus, who died for us, is now alive. And that through faith in Him, we too can live again. Live forever with God as it was intended in the beginning. After I shared all this with him, he looked at me, paused for a few seconds, and then he said, that's the biggest bunch of BS I've ever heard in my life. The foolishness, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That's the first thing we learn. Without the Holy Spirit changing our hearts, we simply cannot accept the things of God. Now, the second thing we learn is that if we do believe that Jesus is God, if we do believe that He died in our place of damnation, if we do believe that He conquered death for us, if we do believe that He will return for us one day, if we do believe these teachings of God's Word, it is only because the Holy Spirit has given us new hearts and new minds that trust God's Word rather than despising it and rejecting it. So, if you do believe in Jesus versus others who don't boast about it as though you're a little more intelligent or sincere than they are. No, if you believe it all, give God all the glory. Because if it wasn't for Him, you too would think that it would all be foolishness. Having said that, Paul goes on to say the following. He says, Jews demand miraculous signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let's take a look at that. First, Paul said that Jews demand miraculous signs. Interesting that Paul would say that, because Paul himself is a Jew. In fact, those of you who remember your Sunday school or Bible reading, Paul used to be a Pharisee, an unbeliever. As a Pharisee, he thought he was saved by his good works, and so he certainly didn't need somebody to die for him. Paul also rejected Jesus at one time. Why? Because he refused to believe that Jesus is God. Obviously, if he believed Jesus was God, he'd listen to him. It's not very smart to reject God. But Paul didn't believe that Jesus was God. Why? Because Jesus didn't save himself when people nailed him to a cross. You see, Paul and many other Jews assumed that if Jesus were God, there's no way anybody would have been able to nail him to a cross. If Jesus were God, he wouldn't have allowed himself to suffer the most humiliating and excruciatingly painful death imaginable. You might remember some of the Jews were mocking Jesus. Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, come down, save yourself. And the fact that he didn't was proof to them that he was a liar, that he wasn't God at all. But here's the sad thing. Jesus did give the Jews many signs that he was God. Even though Jesus never used his almighty power for himself, he did use it for others. He used it to perform many miracles that only God could do. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he calmed the storm, he multiplied a few pieces of food into enough to feed thousands. However, all these miracles were not good enough for the Jews. They wanted more proof. In fact, the real sign that they wanted, and this was the reason they actually rejected Jesus, is that they wanted Jesus to use his power to destroy the Roman Empire. That's right. They didn't want to hear Jesus preach about repentance. They didn't want to hear Jesus preach that they had to trust in him for forgiveness. No, if Jesus really is God, then give us the ultimate sign, Jesus. Get rid of the Romans for us so we can have our own sovereign nation. But Jesus refused to do that. Oh, he did plenty of other miracles to prove that he was God, but he wouldn't give them that sign. You see, Jesus kept stressing to them that he had not come into the world to save them from their earthly enemies. Instead, he came into the world to save them and us from our greatest enemy, our own sin against God. Sadly, many of the Jews, including Paul for a while, refused to accept this. They didn't want that kind of a savior. They would only believe if Jesus gave them some awesome sign of their own choosing. But as we heard in our reading from Matthew, Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Jesus had already given them plenty of signs, but he wasn't going to give them one of their own choosing. In fact, he says, "I'm only going to give you one more, the sign of the prophet Jonah." Just as Jonah was in the belly of a huge fish, and then miraculously God brought him out of that prison in the depths of the sea, Jesus was alluding to the fact that he would be placed in the belly of the earth, but then conquer death by rising from it. That's right. The awesome sign that Jesus would give them and all people is that he conquered death itself. He rose from the grave. And you know what? This didn't happen in isolation. It's not some fairy tale. Hundreds of people were witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And these people were even willing to die for the fact that they had seen Jesus alive. But even with this awesome sign, many Jews refused because they didn't like his preaching. They didn't like the kind of Savior he was. Now, before we stand in judgment over the unbelieving Jews, as though we're better than they are, we need to recognize that we face the same temptation today. Very often, the devil tempts us to view God as nothing more than a divine Santa Claus who exists to give us earthly gifts and happy lives. The devil tempts us to view God as nothing more than a divine Superman who exists to rescue us from evil people or natural catastrophes. And when God doesn't behave like a divine Santa Claus, when God doesn't behave like a divine Superman, well then we get mad at him. Or maybe we even deny his existence. But thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit rescues us from this sinful foolishness, and he gives us the wisdom to see that Jesus is the exact Savior that we need. God's Son went to the cross with your sins and mine, and he suffered the damnation that should have been ours, that we might be forgiven and have the hope of eternal life with the God who created us to live forever in his love. My friends, the Holy Spirit works through God's Word to give us the faith to accept the testimony of those who witnessed the sign of Jesus' resurrection. That's right. Jesus' resurrection is not some fairy tale. It really happened. There were witnesses, hundreds of witnesses, and they were willing to die for that testimony. And God moved the Holy Spirit to record their testimony in Holy Scripture. We believe this testimony because the Holy Spirit has moved us to believe God's sign to us. And the resurrection proves that Jesus is God, who was willing to die in our own place of damnation, that we could be his own forever. Now, after Paul says that the Jews demand miraculous signs, he then goes on to say that the Greeks, that is, most non-Jews, look for wisdom. Now, there's nothing wrong with wisdom, but it depends on what kind of wisdom you want. You see, the wisdom that the Greeks were looking for was not the wisdom of God, but their own wisdom. You see, rather than learning from God's Word what is true and what is false, what is good and what is evil, the Greeks relied on their own wisdom to decide what is good and what is evil, what is true and what is false. And as a result, when they strained the preaching of the cross through their human wisdom, when they strained the teachings of Scripture through their human wisdom, the result was that they said it was all foolishness. But once again, before we judge them too harshly, we need to recognize that we have the same problem today, big time. Many people in our society reject God's wisdom and trust their own. And some of them even pretend to be Christian. You see, at my Bible class that I'll be teaching after service today, I'll be handing out a little article I found about a man who is both a ordained, practicing Presbyterian minister and also an avowed atheist. How the two go together, don't ask me. That's right, he's an ordained, practicing Presbyterian minister, but he denies all the teachings of the Bible because, according to our modern wisdom, they're all ridiculous. If you want to learn more about how he reconciles all that, come to Bible class. The point is, many people in our society reject God's wisdom and trust their own. Many in our society mock what Scripture teaches about things like creation and sin and heaven and hell and Jesus being God in human flesh, Jesus dying in our place of damnation, Jesus rising from the dead, Jesus planning to return in visible form one day. People today think all of that is nonsense. Of course, we're guilty of the same evil arrogance whenever we doubt the teachings of Holy Scripture because they don't seem to make sense to us or because we think we know better. Sadly, there are many Christian denominations today that have strayed so far from the teaching of Holy Scripture they cannot be called Christian in any meaningful sense of the word anymore. Many Christian denominations have replaced God's wisdom with the sinful teachings of men. Sinful teachings of men that affirm what God condemns and condemn what God affirms. But thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit rescues us from this evil foolishness. And in turn, He gives us the faith of little children. Little children who trust God's word even though it doesn't make sense to us. Now please understand, when I say that God gives us the faith of little children, I'm not saying that there's no evidence for Christianity or that anybody with any intelligence can't be a Christian. That's not what I'm saying at all. In fact, there's plenty of evidence for Christianity. For example, when it comes to the origin of life, science today is actually on the side of Scripture's teaching on creation. You see, the more that scientists learn about the complexity of the cell, the more they recognize how life could never have possibly come into being by sheer accident. In other words, someone had to create life. Someone had to design life. If you're walking down the street and you see a laptop computer, you're not going to say, boy, isn't it amazing how over millions of years dirt and dust came together to form this laptop? No, you look at it and says, oh, a Dell laptop. Some company made Dell design this. Guess what? The human cell is a million times more complex than any laptop computer. So science itself has discovered that there must be a designer. There must be a creator. Also, when it comes to the Bible and whether it is trustworthy, did you know that the manuscript evidence for the Scriptures far outweighs any evidence we have for any other ancient literature? And yet people trust that other ancient literature, they accept that it's reliable for historical purposes. And yet, even though the Bible has manuscript evidence that far outweighs any other ancient literature, people dismiss it because they don't like what it says. In addition, did you know that the historic evidence for Jesus' life and death and resurrection is overwhelming? Did you know that believers and unbelievers alike witnessed His miracles? Did you know that believers and unbelievers alike witnessed His death and resurrection? Finally, contrary to what some modern skeptics claim, being a Christian does not mean that you're uneducated or ignorant. The fact is, there are many very intelligent people, many very educated people around the world today who believe the exact same things that we believe. Why? Not because they're smarter than the other unbelievers. They believe what we believe because the Holy Spirit has given them new hearts and new minds that trust God's word, even though His ways are a mystery to us. You see, my friends, the problem is not that Scripture isn't reliable. The problem is not that God hasn't made Himself clear. The problem is that we sinners don't like what God says because it forces us to admit that we're wrong and that we have sinned and that we deserve His wrath and that we need His forgiveness. Therefore, because God loves us, He does all he can to humble our foolishness and pride and lead us to repent of our rebellion against him. He does all he can to move us to trust his word and receive his salvation before it's too late. Before our hearts are so hardened that they cannot receive the things of God. Before our minds are so closed that we cannot be open to the things of God. God does his best to rescue us from ourselves. You see, the Christians in Corinth, they were in great spiritual danger because they forgot who they were and whose they were. They had turned their backs on the wisdom of Christ crucified, and they had been deceived by the devil and were tempted to embrace the evil wisdom of this world. Some of them were looking for special signs from God, even though he had already given them tons of signs. Others were doubting God's word, and they were embracing the teachings of their sinful culture. Paul rebukes all of them. And then he says, the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Those words are so relevant for our lives today, my friends. We live in a culture where many people demand signs from God before they will believe in him. We live in a culture where many people think the teaching of God's word, especially Christ crucified, they think it's all foolishness. We live in a culture where many mock and despise us Christians for what we believe. But my friends, don't be ashamed. Don't despair. You are blessed. The Holy Spirit has given you the wisdom to believe that the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So continue to trust God's word. Continue to be faithful and speak his truth in love. And then watch God change hearts. I know of people who used to be hardened atheists who are now the most sincere and faithful Christians you can imagine because God can still work miracles. When Paul preached on Mars Hill to the members of the Areopagus, yeah, many of them mocked him. Many of them thought he was foolish. But through his preaching and teaching, the Holy Spirit did capture some hearts and minds. Some of them were converted to faith in Christ. Some of them did believe. So by the grace of God, we continue to be faithful. We continue to speak his truth in love, knowing that God can still work miracles, knowing that God can still open hearts and minds to believe that the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Amen. Now may the peace